Hello there, guys, and welcome to another episode of Genuine Chit Chat. This week, I am joined by a gentleman named Jared Speed, who is the founder of Limitless Float and Muscle Ape, as well as being an armed response police officer. Now, I had a great time chatting with Jared. We were meant to speak very early on in the year, but then this little small pandemic happened. You guys may have heard about it, and it kind of delayed things a little bit. We wanted to do it in person because he's quite local to where I live. So it was really cool to go meet him. I went over his house, and you may on the odd occasion hear some sort of weird, like, sort of noise. That is because there was a pug and a Frenchie asleep in the lounge in which it was in Jared's house in which we recorded the podcast. For the most part, the dogs were completely fine for the whole time. They were a lot of fun and they're very, very cute, but you can hear them snoring at certain parts. I've managed to edit the majority of it out, but there is a little bit in the background at certain points. So if you're wondering what that peculiar noise is, that's what it is. Anyway, aside from all that jazz, just a couple of quick bullet points of what me and Jared speak about. So the main focal point of the first part of our conversation is about float labs and float tanks. Essentially, Jared founded a company called Limitless Float, which myself and Megan and a couple of our friends have been to. And it's basically, if you've ever listened to Joe Rogan or any other big podcaster in that regard who speaks about isolation tanks or sensory deprivation tanks or anything like that, they're basically a pod that you go into and the lid closes and you're in salt water that's around your body temperature and you just float there and you feel a lot of nothingness. It sounds odd, but Jared explains it a lot better than I am now. This is just like the footnotes. But basically, he started that business, and that's one of the things that we speak about the most. And then about halfway through this part, we then speak about, you know, Jared's advice for new startups, social media. We speak about sports a little bit at the end. And that's generally what it is. But it's a really, really interesting chat. And Jared is a really, really cool guy that I'm definitely going to have on the podcast again. So we've already spoken about that. So I'll definitely be having him on the podcast again, and any excuse to go see him. His awesome house and his adorable doggos is also an added bonus. As always, I've included links in the description to Limitless Float and Muscle Ape. I believe in this part of the chat, Jared mentioned one of the people who helped him with his designs called Lind. They have a company. I just added them in the show notes as well because Jared said it was cool too. So no worries there. Before the chat gets started, there will be a quick promo by the American Slacker podcast, who I've played their promos before and they've played ours. So there we go. Check them out. The links are in the description. They're a really, really cool podcast. If you like my show, you're almost certain going to like theirs. And that's just about it for me, guys, at the start. If it's your first time on the podcast, the chat will start shortly after the promo and the intro music. And then I'll be back right at the end to tell you guys what's coming up in part two, what else you can expect from Genuine Chit Chat over the coming weeks, a little bit of information about my other podcast, Star Wars Comics in Canon, and a few other bits and pieces, kind of housekeeping-y stuff to keep this a bit short. So, yeah, thanks as always for listening, guys. Follow on the usual social media places at Genuine Chit Chat on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Like, review, share with your friends, do all the usual stuff. Anyway, guys, thanks as always for listening, and I'll talk to all of you at the end.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I am Jesse. So, like, what is American Slacker, I guess, right?
The highest amount of dick jokes per episode per podcast.
We've been on the air for 57 straight years.
57 straight years of dick jokes.
Things constantly soaring over my head.
And you pulling my chain and your weekly weird news.
We're also cannabis friendly. We kind of sneak it in there, almost like you're lacing the brownies at the family reunion.
It's the ride of your motherfucking life.
Fucking 11 when there's only 10 on the dial.
Weapons of mass destruction.
It's a threat to society.
Food assaults.
Yeah, that happens too sometimes. An ostrich took a lit match into a fireworks factory.
I don't even know where to go with that one.
No, that's our third story.
Oh my God. America, what are you doing?
There's always someone dumb getting fucked over.
Well, you know, they should have never gave raccoons rights, in my opinion.
Oh my God. You can help us. You can help everyone.
Download our shit now.
We're second America. Second America.
Welcome to Genuine Chit Chat, where we have honest conversations with interesting people. And I'm your host, Mike Burton. I'm here today with Jared Speed. Jared, thank you so much for welcoming me into your house. It's delightful to meet you. If you want to just tell people one of the many things that you're involved with, if you just want to give a little summary and things of what sort of stuff you get up to.
Right. I'd like to think of myself as a bit of an entrepreneur, I guess. Mm. I've got a couple of businesses, but my primary job is a arm response police officer. But I think, I don't know, the most important thing, I guess, is I'm a father to three girls and have a lovely girlfriend.
That's a very nice, that's a very diplomatic answer. That's very sweet.
No, that's probably my prod and joy, is my three girls.
Yeah, that's very nice to hear. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, and I think the way we kind of got speaking in things was actually I went to the float lab that you own, essentially.
Yeah.
And when you tell people the name of the float lab and what it generally does, and then we can kind of go from there.
Yeah, so I own Limitless Float. So it's a float centre in Southampton. We opened in October 2018 now, which actually, I actually thought it was less time than that. I thought it was probably been open just over a year.
Mm.
But yeah, coming up for our 2 year anniversary. So
that's amazing. And because because I listen to a lot of podcasts and, you know, people like Joe Rogan speak about isolation tanks / float tanks quite a lot. And so I was always intrigued by them. And then two friends of mine actually said to us, organize going together. And then there's a scheduling error between us. So they end up going separately.
Yeah.
And they're both into meditation. I am to a degree, but my partner Megan isn't. And that was kind of like a talking point that went from there. But if you want to, obviously you're the expert. I had an incredible, we'll see how well this goes. I loved being in a float tank, but if you just want to explain to people who aren't aware of what a float tank even is or what it's for, and then
So there's two, I think there's a couple of facets to it. So there's the mental side. So like your, whatever you want to call it, the spiritual side, the mindfulness. Mm-hmm. I'd say mindfulness.
That's what I say for meditation, is that? Yeah.
So we do get people that they're stressed or they're into mindfulness meditation. Sort of there's branches off of that. So there's things like Wim Hof method.
So I know who Wim Hof is.
So you've got all these different branches of like mindfulness, the spirit, I think. Then there's the physical side of it, which is why I actually, that's how I discovered it. So I'm a Joe Rogan fan.
Yeah.
Kept hearing about these float tanks, but weirdly I didn't realize I'd been in a float tank quite a few years ago, stayed at a hotel in Wales and they had, it was like a float pool, but you could literally fit eight people into these, like this float pool, but it was really shallow, but it was like a big open space. It was quite light considering what you'd be used to at my center and had like these twinkly lights on the ceiling, but it was just really weird that you were in this water and floating, but I wasn't aware that it was specifically for that.
Oh, right.
But it was quite weird. There were people getting in and out of it. You just laid there, but I didn't quite realize this. So
was that in the UK?
Yeah. So that was, this was again, quite a few years ago in Wales, but then, we were told, oh yeah, you can't splash around. So just lower yourself gently in and you'll float in the water. And I just wasn't aware of actually that was specifically what I was doing, that people were getting in and out. And I didn't actually stay there that long. So I thought, oh, this is a bit boring. But then, but it actually felt nice while I was in there, but where people were in and out and stuff like that.
There's no solidarity. There's no like,
no, there wasn't, not the sort of structure that's in place. So fast forward a little bit. I'm listening to Joe Rogan. He's talking about his float tanks, and it's quite funny because a lot of the float centers that you'd visit in America, they have like a questionnaire. Like, so with ours, one of the questions one of my staff might ask you is, how did you hear about us? So a lot of, oh, well, I Googled you, but a lot of float centers in America have an option of Joe Rogan. So it, you know, so that is, in one respect, it's brilliant for us because a lot of people hear about it through that. But yeah, no, mine was, I used to play rugby to a fairly high level, like county level.
Oh, okay, nice.
Up until I was about 18. Then I got involved in MMA.
Oh, nice.
Training then in any sport, they really want the emphasis of really looking after yourself. So playing prop number eight in the pack, really. I never played. I used to play outside centre for a while when I was like 15, 16, but then it was back in the pack. And depending on fitness, was number eight or prop. But just my back was chewed up from that. Then doing MMA, like the wrestling, the Brazilian jiu-jitsu and stuff like that, it was, again, a lot of pressure on the back, finishing training sessions. And instead of taking that time to foam roller, to stretch, just just go home. Right? Mm. And then you sort of getting these niggles in your backs, but that's in your early 20s.
Mm.
And then fast forward to now, like the last like 10 years, I've just had such a bad back and it's set off. But then I sort of rediscovered it by going to Floatworks in London. But by the time you've gone up to Vauxhall, where it was, you've done your float, you've then got a commute back to Southampton somehow.
Yeah.
So it just completely undoes that de-stressing experience. And sat in your car actually after a float, yeah, your back's not as bad, but you're sort of kind of going back, sort of circling back onto square one.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, because like when I did the float, when I came to Limitless Float, and I'll include links and stuff for anyone who's sort of in the South England area, because I can't recommend it enough, whether or not you're into meditation, mindfulness or anything. There's an undeniable physical benefit to being in a float lab, float chamber. It's just, you know, as you say, shallow salt water. You can choose to put the pod down at your place or keep it open. I closed mine, and you just lay there with a few things on and stuff so that the water doesn't go in your ears and et cetera. And you just relax. And I think, the sessions, are they standard an hour? I can't remember.
Yeah, so just to explain to anyone who might have heard of a float pod or hasn't, it looks like the egg that Mork arrived in Mork and Mindy, apart from it's got this like lid. So it's about 1,100 litres of water, but it's a half a ton, 500 kilos of pharmaceutical grade Epsom salt, which is all rich in magnesium. So that's what actually makes you buoyant in the water. But also the benefits of Epsom salt is the way it lowers cortisol in the body. So cortisol being the stress hormone. But stress, you've got to think of what stress does to your muscles. So ask any sports person, they don't want to be stressed. They want to be as relaxed as they can. But then it doesn't have to be your elite athlete. That's your person working in a call center for 10 hours a day, hunched over a desk with a mic on their head, probably dealing with people they don't want to deal with.
Making them tense up stress. And stuff.
So yeah, they can have a tense back. And, you know, it can be used for elite athletes, and it is. A lot of NFL teams have now adopted it, where they have them at their training facilities.
Oh, nice.
The UFC have opened up a huge UFC training facility in Shanghai, and they have the tanks that I have, the Isopod.
Oh, nice.
But,
yeah.
So I'm no way affiliated with Isopod, so I'm not getting anything for that plug. But so that you've got this magnesium rich Epsom salt water that you float in, and you just use that time to relax. But it's
not like anything else.
There's nothing.
It's one of those things, almost a really layman's way of describing it is there's never a point where some muscle isn't working. Even if you're like laying on a bed, there's that degree of you know, something has to support you to some degree.
Yep.
When you're in the float lab, because you've got that water with the salt in it as well, and you are literally floating, all pressure anywhere is taken off. And I mean, I sleep on a memory foam mattress, which is nice, but that it's not even comparable. It's not even the same remotely thing.
I mean, if you told anyone, I don't care how comfy your bed is, if you said, right, go and lay on that bed and don't move, you're going to adjust yourself. Mm-hmm. With a float tank, there's nothing to adjust. There's nothing to... I mean, you get some people who... One of the complaints is, oh, my neck, it aches. And it's probably because your spine has never been that neutral for a good part of your working adult life. Mm-hmm. That's why... Yeah. And it's not a bad thing, but then it's just that they're so relaxed that, again, their neck muscles have completely relaxed. But there's different things. You can pop like a swimming pool noodle under your knees. There's a halo float cushion. You can put that behind your head, and that negates some of these things. So it's one of those things that it doesn't really...
That is amazing.
My dog tap dancing across a wooden floor.
But yeah, and also the water itself as well is it adjusts to your body temperature, doesn't it?
It's constant. So it's around about 36.4 degree mark, and the air, the ozone in there is the same temperature as the water. So if you think about that, one of the things you'll find is, and it's something I definitely do in the tank, is you sort of wiggle your fingers or your toes thinking, where's the water? Oh, it's there.
Yeah, you lose yourself.
You really lose yourself because you can't tell the difference between the air and the water. And it really plays that trick on your mind. So there's that sort of factor. But it's just such an odd experience because it is weightlessness. And it doesn't matter. I've had people email and say, oh, you know, I'm 15 stone. Well, I sink. It doesn't matter. You can be as light as a feather or weigh a ton. It's not going to make any difference. You're going to float. And you get people that are negative buoyancy. It doesn't matter. You're going to float just because of the amount of salt in the water. So yeah, it's just completely unique. And for me, finding that when I had my bad back, I'd never had anything like it that had made me relax that much. And I mean, it gets to the point where I get in there, I can go to sleep within 5 minutes. Yeah, it's perfect for me.
Yeah, because sleeping in there as well is meant to be like sleeping in the tank is almost like, if you sleep for like an hour in a tank, it's almost like sleeping several hours out of the tank, isn't it? Sort of.
Yeah, I mean, the problem. This is the thing with floating. There's a lot of myths. They're not myths, but it's people do find that. So one of the things people say is 1 hour in the tank is equivalent to 4 hours sleep.
Okay.
And unfortunately, it's anecdotal because one of the things that's not been done until recently, floating did used to be seen as this real hippy trippy thing. Right through the 70s, and it's only, I would probably say, the latter end of the 90s to now, it's actually really being considered a serious counter to the stress and everyday sort of
life, you know, isn't it?
Yeah, life. But nowadays, I would probably say people, and I'm guilty of this, but making your life more busy. I mean, if we're not on a phone, we're emailing someone, if we're not doing that, we're talking, we're zooming now, and there's this constant pressure of making yourself busy. And again, I'm one of those people, but it's just that it just takes it out of you. Like when you're in there and you know, it does distort time. Like when I'm in there, I definitely feel I'm in there longer than an hour, and I've actually got to the point where I'm not bored, but I'm like, have I set the timer right? Because we set a time. And so for me, there's 10 minutes of music at the beginning. There's a big pause. There's just a silence, and it's a soundproof pod. So, and a lot of people are aware, they're like, oh my God, I heard my heartbeat. And that can be quite reassuring for some people. I think it is. It's just a nice experience. There's not, I think we're definitely to the point where well over 3,000 floats in. I think I could count on two hands with change the amount of people that have said it's not for me. I mean, and one of those, I'd discount him completely because this guy had come in and he'd clearly been forced to go by his wife, and is an older gentleman, but you could tell he was one of them people that he was just determined. And he actually said when we come in, we said, oh, you know, welcome. I'm not going to enjoy this, you know. I've been dragged along to do this. And I was like, oh, I said, well, maybe we'll change your mind. Nope, absolutely not. This is just not my cup of tea. And it's one of them people, you're not going to change his mind. And in 2 minutes in, literally before the 10 minute mute, he got, that's not for me. It's just ridiculous. Oh, I'm not going to lay there for an hour.
Wow.
And it's like, I think he really outdone himself. You know,
that's the kind of person who just needs to go in there and kind of.
Honestly, some of the people that are sort of, oh, I got given this as a gift card, I'm not sure I'm going to like it. They become avid floaters because those sort of people are so stressed. They're so uptight about whatever it is, and they sort of come away. And oh my God, I've never relaxed like that in my life. And it's, and I like hearing it. And the thing is, it's actually nice when you hear that. And I mean, the amount of stories I could tell you where people, and for some people, it is literally life changing. And, you know, there's customers. I mean, they're probably not going to mind me telling their story, but we work with Hampshire Police Federation, and we've had people that have worked, I'll sort of dance around it a little bit, but I've worked, say, in a field of work involving computers and involving, let's say, children who have had really, really awful experiences and things I would never want to wish upon my worst enemy. And it's actually helped them massively. And again, just those stories, just that actually makes me think, wow, this was really a worthwhile business to sort of
get into. It's an incredible venture that you've gone on. I think you're one of the the people at the forefront, because I think this is going to be one of those things where in 10 years or even 20 years, we're going to look back and be like, where have these been for the last century almost?
Yeah, because, absolutely.
And one of the things that when I went in there, I'd already, because I heard of, you know, Rogan, similar to yourself, and I'd heard him speak about it, I was really excited for it. But my partner, Megan, she doesn't do meditation. I'm trying to slowly change that, but you know, you can't force it. You've got to kind of just drop a few hints and leave it for a while. Yeah, exactly. She's got a 3-month subscription to Calm, I think, that she got for free with her phone upgrade or something, which is nice. But I personally do mindfulness, which is basically just breathing. You know, I do the most simple, just steady, slow inhale through the nose and then exhale through the mouth. And that's just, I do that most days for 5 to 10 minutes. And I often do it if I can't sleep as well, because it helps, you know, lower the heart rate and all sorts of other things. And she was a bit skeptical before going in. She didn't close the pod when she went in. She kept it open, which is obviously completely fine. I went in there, closed it. I was like, I'm in 100%. But she came out saying very, very similar things to what I said. She thoroughly enjoyed it. She felt incredibly relaxed. And afterwards, we sat in the car and we just spoke for a bit. And we were just like, it feels like the connective tissue that connects, so like your back muscles to your spine itself.
Yeah.
You can't feel it normally that much. But once you've done the float tank, you come out and you can, everything is more enhanced, but everything feels so much lighter. It feels like you've had a full body massage from like a ghost. It's almost because a lot of massages that I've had, because me and Megan have had several massages before together, and it's like, you know, have a really nice massage, but it's got that pleasure and the pain. It's like, oh, you're getting a knot out, oh, that feels good, but it hurt a little bit.
Well, that's something I also do. I'm a sports masseuse, so.
Well, that's it. I was a clever man, I'd say that was a good segue, but yeah. That's just me rambling on, remembering about the, well, speak about that. We'll say that with the float lab, I'd say it's like a massage without any of the pain or anything. But going into sort of one of your other many ventures then, your sports massage and other things, what's that all about? Is that Muscle Ape?
Yeah, so another company own is Muscle Ape, and that that's just, it's boot camps, it's personal training, and now sports massage. So I've sort of added those.
Yeah.
Added the sports massage on about a year ago now, just over.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that is the perfect description. So when I went to Floatworks and had a proper float there, the way I described it to people, it was like having the best night's sleep I'd ever had, a full body sports massage, as in I'd been ironed out, got the strongest hands going, but also the most relaxed I'd felt afterwards as well. And that was just the combination. I just never had been relaxed. And even so one of the owners of Floatworks, Tim, who's also the owner of Isopod, so I went and met him afterwards, and I didn't feel real. Just my legs just felt relaxed. My knee, I was very aware of where I'd had pain, but I was very aware of how relaxed everything was as well. And just walking, just probably like 50 meters from the float center to meet it. And it was just, I just felt come out incredible. And I knew then, I thought, like, Southampton needs to have this. Mm-hmm. There's nothing down this way. There's, the nearest ones are in Brighton, Pangbourne near Reading. They're the nearest ones, and I thought, there's nothing here. So it's a little bit of mainly a business side of things, thinking, well, this is going to be incredible for Southampton to have it, but just it needed it down there.
Oh yeah, and Southampton's one of those cities which is a huge city. Like, for anyone, there's a lot of listeners who aren't from Southampton, fortunately. It has about 230,000 people thereabouts.
Yeah,
because the city limits, depending on where you put them, does vary a bit. But around 200,000 people in a city, and it's one of only two cities in the UK that is a city because of its size. Because a town becomes a city with a cathedral.
That's right.
Yeah. Plymouth and Southampton are the only two that don't have cathedrals, just because the population is so massive. And Southampton is, it's one of those weird ones where it's on the up and up in a lot of odd ways at different times. Like, we had West Quay, and then the other West Quays were meant to happen, which are shopping centre things, and then they didn't happen for ages. And now I've got Watermark, and there's lots of little areas which are building up and things. And I think where the location of Limitless Float is, right near the bridge, and where, like, there's so many buses and things like that, which are all right near it as well, it's a perfect place for anyone in Southampton to get to. And also, because of Southampton's current infrastructure and a lot of the other up and up parts, and there's two universities and colleges and all kinds of other things, there's so many people there that you, it's one of the perfect places to get to start a business in a lot of ways. You know, it's one of the best places.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite weird because it's probably the same of any high street you're looking at now, but it's just so weird because you have got a lot of, like if you go to Portswood, for example, I think that's one of the best examples of seeing that entrepreneurial spirit of small businesses open up because you've got a load of good, you've got quite a few good bars down there. You're seeing all these like foodie places. It's a real foodie area now.
Yeah.
But like Seven Bone, like massive success story. And I love seeing things like that and seeing Sprinkles.
I was going to say Sprinkles, yeah.
And they're everywhere now. Mm. Like, and they're spreading out. And I think it's great. When you see that, that's really good.
Yeah.
And I love seeing it. But then there's this weird disconnect because then you go to the high street and you're seeing these massive units like that had big shops in, and Debenhams is closed down now, and the Bargate Quarter was meant to be connecting the main part of town to Debenhams, and you're seeing all these shops that are shut, and I just think it's heartbreaking really, because you think landlords would be like, well, let me just rent it to anyone,
yeah,
and because they're owned by these big pension hedge funds, they don't have to rent it out, and they can actually write off against their, you know, their losses for the year. And they're not that bothered. They're not that bothered about dropping the rent. Whereas if they actually gave people that chance, and the same with the council rates and stuff, because, you know, and for anyone who obviously doesn't know, you don't just pay your rent. You've got your council tax, which is the council rates, and they can be extortionate, and that can really hammer, especially when you start a startup business, that can just kill your cash flow. Just this big sum of money you've got to stump up.
Mm-hmm.
Like my first venture was my own business was a gym up Shirley. It was a MMA gym, 7,500 square feet, which is a big space. And I was getting stung for £1,000 a month in council rates.
Yeah,
and the place had just been empty for years before, and you see all these empty units and you think that there'd be some sort of, I don't know, they could really ignite small businesses if they didn't hammer them like that.
Yeah, I agree. It is one of those things where you're starting up a business is hard enough as it is, and you'd think that they would want to try and help give people a hand in some way, you know, just to kind of help bolster things. But I mean, you know, Southampton City Council, almost everyone I know who lives here has got some not so diplomatic words about them.
Yeah,
if you frame it in that regard.
Again, I just think if like with this whole COVID thing that's happened. So, and I know a lot of people that are in the same boat with the float centre. We were in a really rocky patch where I won't say who our landlord is. Put it this way: it's a big multinational company, very faceless, and you're asking the people there, look, can we have a reduction in rent, or are you going to freeze it? How are you going to help me? And they're like, well, no, we've got to collect it. And it's like, well, you can strangle all these businesses short term for the rent, or, you know, you work with us. And it's because it's owned by big, again, it's just something on the loss sheet. Oh, well, I don't know. It's just that thing of, that they'd rather cash grab in the short term than think long term. And I think some people maybe have been lucky. I know certain people that own their own businesses have been let off rent, you know, well, let's just get through this.
And, yeah.
But, you know, some places, like the place that I rent off happens where we are in the business park, owned by a big multinational, and they're not really that bothered. If a tiny little business like mine goes out of business, I just don't care.
No, instead of it being like a reasonable way of doing it, like a human way of doing it, like I would if I had that kind of real estate empire of being like, oh, okay, COVID's hit, right? Let's give everyone a 50% reduction on rent because nowhere's open for months. So it's just like, give everyone a 50% reduction on rent, but then maybe next year you can even argue, look, we gave you that 50% rent. How about you, instead of leasing for the next year, you lease for the next 18 months to guarantee?
Yeah, there you go.
That sort of, if there was that back and forth, you'd be a bit more inclined to be okay with certain things. But and they can make it work for the long run if they just cut a bit off the top now and saved it, in a sense, just be like, look, we're not going to make as much as we want, but if we reduced our the amount we get in, but keep people happy for a longer period of time, we're going to have a more steady income because certain businesses would go out. So as you say, with the bigger empty lots, well, no one's paying council tax or rent or anything like that on them at all. So you've just got these dead zones. Yeah. Whereas if they were just a bit more reasonable, for a year or so, maybe you wouldn't have had so much money coming in. But then if you help a business survive for another 10, those extra 9 years more than make up for it.
Well, this is again, there's clever ways. There are things you can do. So initially, so say like you were starting up your own business and someone was thinking, I want to do this, but the rent is X, Y, or Z. You can go to the landlord and there's something called step rent you can do. So you can turn around and say, right, I'll pay 25% of what you're actually asking for, but I'll sign a longer lease. And as time goes on, you can up it to the price you want. But at a 10-year lease, you can say, right, by year four, we'll hit what you want.
I see.
But then by year four, you're going to know where your business is anyway. So your business is either you're going to be out of business and shut your business down, but at least you haven't got an empty property. Mm. But again, it's one of those things. I can moan about that all day.
I can imagine. Well, yeah. I have interest. Have you, apart from Muscle Ape and then Limitless Flow, obviously you've got your job in the police force as well. Have you had many prior business ventures, as in that you tried?
Yeah, so I owned a gym. It was
obviously the MMA gym.
Gym. So it's still there. It's called Exile Gym in Shirley.
Oh, I think I've seen that actually.
Yeah, so it's above the Sainsbury's there. So it's a big old place. I started that in 2011. So started that by myself. Had a few. It was more of a friends and family chipping in, helping me get that off the ground. But then the business model needed to change, brought some other guys in. And it was, it is one of those things. I'd never run a business before, but I know I needed to do it. I know I'd always wanted to own a gym and thought, that's a great way of doing it, but didn't really know a lot about business. So didn't know anything about accountancy, didn't know about marketing, didn't know about anything. It was just a case of, field of dreams. If I build it, they will come. And it did. In the end, it did work out, and it was very profitable. And then, not a disagreement, but just the guys that were in that I'd brought in as business partners, they wanted to run it a different way to how I wanted to run it. So I just said to them, sold my shares to them.
Yeah,
and I think it's all they're ticking along nicely. So, but I learned a lot, and one of the things probably if it was advice I'd give is if you're ever going into business with people, you literally have to write a solid, this is how we're going, this is the direction we're going to take, that you really discuss everything if you need to change anything. And it wasn't really done like that. So so something I've been adamant with Muscle Ape and Limitless is that I run Limitless with my girlfriend. Muscle Ape's my own company. I sort of do my own thing with that. It's just best to own them by yourself, business, unless you have got someone who's literally on board with everything you want to do. It's, if you've got conflicting ideas, literally you'll just watch it pull itself apart. So,
this is obviously not, in a way that I understand what you mean to some degree, not from such weighted gravity with, finances and things, but as an example with what I'm doing now with the podcasting and things, I used to do a YouTube thing with my friend Reese, who's the person who's on the 100th episode, and he's one of my closest friends in the world. And we did a YouTube thing, about a year or so. We would just put on a camera and say silly things, talk about the news, that sort of jazz. And they were just, after a certain amount of time, eventually I wanted to do it more frequently and he didn't want to do it less frequently, which is completely fine. We were 17, 18 at the time and starting to get girlfriends and all these sort of, other distractions. Not college work that we should have been focusing on, but all other distractions.
Yeah.
And what happened was eventually I couldn't do it by myself, but because of the way I'd made it, it had to be with him and he wasn't as fussed about doing it anymore. And then it just kind of died in a sense. I don't have anything against Reese at all for that, because we just did it for fun and things. But obviously when we started it, we're like, yeah, we'll do this for ages and it'll be loads of fun. But after a year or so, you don't know what's going to happen. And if you don't strictly put those rules in place, or if you don't do it yourself, then things can change. And I know so many podcasters in some of the podcasting communities I'm in, or even just Facebook groups of hundreds of people in things. They go, oh, my co-host isn't in it anymore. They don't want to do it. I've had to put the podcast on pause. Does anyone want to do the hosting with me? And it becomes this thing of a lot of the time when I was kind of figuring out my next venture after I did the YouTube thing and I did music videos for bands for a while, which is so satisfying when you release it, but the editing a music video is so boring. Very fun when you've released it, but yeah, not fun to do. And so I was trying to work out what I want to do creatively. And for about 2 years, I had this drought of, I was just not really doing anything creative. I was just consuming media content and getting overweight. And so eventually I kind of thought, oh, I'll do something, whatever. And I'd end up doing podcasting. And I really am glad that I didn't have someone else on board for that, because yeah. I can do this however much I want to do it. I don't have to listen to anyone else. And this is just a, you know, this is just a hobby of mine that's fun. Maybe one day I'll make money, but at the moment it's just a passion project that I enjoy. And even with something like that, I'm so glad I don't have a partner. I've got Megan, who's, she will occasionally co-host with me and she'll give me her opinion on things, but I have complete control.
Yeah.
And so when I want to do what I want to do, I can. And that in a business must be, in a lot of ways, either, as you say, invaluable, because if you do it yourself, you know, even if someone else who's with you didn't see your vision, if you're certain of it, you can pursue and do it, or someone who's completely on the right page. So even from my perspective of someone who hasn't had any financial burden or such a huge thing like a business, I can see how that is applicable to something like podcasting. So building up to a business, that must be.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, that first business, Exile Gym, it was a massive learning curve. There were so many things I was winging it. I was, you know, this. Yeah. I literally should have. Something. This is definitely something that I've learned along the way. If you can delegate something to someone who specializes in that. So for example, if you don't realize how tax returns and bank accounts and bookkeeping works, don't try and do it yourself. Pay an accountant. And,
yeah.
And it might actually, you might think, oh, you know, that's really going to hurt my cash flow. I can't afford it. You can't afford not to have it. And if you think, you know, putting together some clip art on Microsoft Word, which is what I used to do for my gym to make leaflets and posters, but you don't want to fork out, you know, like, I mean, there's, I'm probably going to, can you give shout outs?
Yeah, you can do what you can.
So there's a lovely girl, I know, called Lynn's Designs House. And she has recently just done my, I've just done a leaflet campaign for Muscle Ape because we're expanding our boot camp. And she's going to be doing a corporate brochure for Limitless because we're going to approach companies and try and appeal to their wellness.
That's a very good chat.
HR coordinators. We're going to pay her to do that. My girlfriend's really good at design. But I can tell you now, with the two young kids I've got, they're 3 and 2. You're probably not going to get a night to yourself where you can get a clear run. Like, you might need a week where you're designing stuff different. You know, we can't guarantee it. So you outsource it to people like Lindsay, who's done all that. You pay your accountant to keep all your books in order so that you're not getting that red letter food from the tax saying, actually, you've done this wrong. Here's your fine.
Yeah, of course.
Because your fine will actually may outweigh what you've definitely paid your accountant. And then you've, you know, if you've got someone, we've got a girl called Alicia who does all our marketing for Limitless. Again, another plug. So Mirror Digital, but that, again, that Gemma did all that before she did the social media, but it's where it's constant. It's time consuming and it's stressful because you've got to get that content out, but we outsource that and it is an expense, but I don't have to go to bed worrying, oh God, I haven't put out a post. So I do it for myself with Muscle Ape, but then Muscle Ape's a small community of people and I'm not looking to get the whole of the South Coast to come to Muscle Ape because one, I don't have the capacity. and it's not a business that needs that model.
Of course.
Whereas Limitless has got a lot of slots that need to be filled with people. So we need to appeal to a wider base. But we don't go to bed stressing about our media content because that's taken care of. We don't worry about the accountancy side of it. That's taken care of. And that's my accountant. Charlie, this is the sounding like a big advert.
This is.
I promise. Well, they're not on commission, but obviously. So our accountant, Charlie, takes care of all of that. And that is something that has been the biggest learning curve, is outsource it. And it actually pays to pay these people, even if you think you can't afford it, you can't afford not to have them. So there's that. But there's some people that obviously love creative control and they actually want to do those things. But it's just something that Gemma was really good at doing that, but it's just so stressful with her work and with the children for both of us. It's just hard to do some of these things.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I mean, I was actually saying earlier on today to Megan, I was like, I'm contemplating seeing how much it would cost to get someone to do the social media just for Genuine Chit Chat.
Yeah.
Because although I don't make any money off it, it's growing and growing, and I'm hopefully going to, at some point, maybe get a Patreon, and there's various income streams. And I've known some people who said they would give me money for it. And obviously, podcasting, it costs me £10 a month to have a website and a podcast host, which isn't much at all. But I was thinking, like, if I just invested, even if it's another 10, 20 quid a month, and then I didn't have to do any social media, because I love podcasting. I love this. I love meeting new people and hearing things that people are passionate about and learning things. And editing it, I do all my own editing, I do all my own graphic design, I write out everything, and I'm fine with all of that because, you know, I can edit it the way I kind of want to, and I can type up, you know, show notes or whatever, however I want. But social media posts, you know, I've been at it for 3 years now. The first year, it was fine because I was like, I'm excited. The second year, I was like, I'm still doing it. And now I'm just like, oh, fuck. Because one of those things where the last couple of weeks on Genuine Chit Chat, it's been a bit dry for posting. Not because I haven't had content, but it's because sitting there and thinking, I've got to make a post that's vaguely interesting. It's got to have the right hashtags. It's got to have the right this, got to have the right that. I've got a lot of notes on my phone that have got the hashtags done or whatever, but it's just posting on Twitter, then Facebook, then, you know, all the different aspects you can post on, trying to do it vaguely each day, trying to have varied content because you want people to follow you for the business / the podcast. You want people to follow you if they're just interested in what you have to say. There's lots of different elements depending on what business or what media you're promoting as to how frequently you want to post and what you want to post. And I don't want my podcast social media to just be about the podcast. I used to do movie reviews. I used to do T-shirt Tuesdays and lots of other things. And it's just because I hate social media, just, you know, posting on it primarily so much now, that has taken a back. And I now need to, you know, make the concerted effort to either push it forward or potentially get someone in to do it.
Well, I think on my phone, my social media is called Shit Show Media. It's one of those things. If I didn't have to have it, from a business point of view, I really wouldn't be on it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's good. It's connected us a lot more. So there's people that, you know, your friends you met on holiday when you were 8. Oh, wow. What are you up to? I get to see your post photos or whatever. But it's also like, to me, it's become this like big dividing thing as well. Because Karen, who just used to have a chat, you know, with her mates about her opinion on this, that, or the other, has now got a soapbox.
Yep.
Where she's got a captive audience of, you know,
whoever's friended her over the years.
500, 600, 900 people, doesn't matter. Telling you something she might not actually have any real knowledge about, but let me spout my ignorance.
Yep.
And you think, Christ, where did this come from? And it becomes this, like, oh my God, you know, like the world's going off a cliff, and it's...
I know exactly what you mean. I said before, like Twitter, I only got for the podcast. I never had a Twitter before that. Instagram, I would occasionally post, occasionally, but this was, as I said, like 3-4 years ago now. So I was more in my early 20s, which I would like to use an excuse, but it's probably not one. And then I can't stand Facebook, but it's like, Facebook's where all of the podcasting groups are. So I'm in about 10 of them, and it's good to get collaborations and meet with people, blah. And then Instagram's where I do most of my posting. And then Twitter's where I'm in a group chat with other podcasters where my other podcast is.
Yeah.
And we have an actual nice chat, and it's really cool chatting with them. And there's like 10 of us in there. It's really cool. But the actually going on, I don't really scroll through social media anymore. I don't really look, because when I'm quite a busy person because I've got the two podcasts and everything else, and obviously you're a very busy individual as well, and it's very easy just to get stuck sat somewhere and on your phone. And it's kind of gross, but I've done it on the toilet, sat on the loo scrolling through.
Oh, yeah, everyone,
and
then you finish, do that.
And then you're like, wait a minute, I've been sat on it for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, how have I wasted half an hour of my
exactly.
life?
Exactly. You know? Or the worst is straight after a shower. Like, if no one's in the house, straight after the shower, sit on the edge of the bed with the towel on, and then you're just scrolling. You're not looking for anything. You're barely even reading anything. You're just kind of aimlessly scrolling. And then you just say half an hour's gone past, and you're like, great, now I have half an hour less time of fun things to do, and I've wasted it by doing nothing.
Well, here's a question. Have you ever gone down the Pinterest rabbit hole?
I've not gone down the Pinterest rabbit hole. I've gone down many other rabbit holes.
Unbelievable. If you want to see a vortex of time worse when I say, I don't mean worse, I mean more intense than a float tank. Go on Pinterest. Like, I think I'd, for some reason I had Pinterest. I think I'd, I mean, well, I'm guessing Pinterest people know what that is, but essentially it's like a hobby and it's like a hobby sort of center. Like if you've got something you're really interested in, oh my God, you can waste so much time. You know, if 1 minute I'm looking up tips on how to do my archery better, next minute I'm getting a recipe for bacon monkey bread. You know, it's this crazy little vortex of like, you know, like, and before you know it, you're creating boards. And, you know, if you've got something like I've got, and it's like a gardening one, you've got to keep that a secret. You don't want anyone knowing you're a secret green fiddler, you know. It's really, I think it's one of those things that is actually really constructive, because you can get a lot, like for me, like recipes for Christmas, like for making cool things, for making cool cocktails. You can go on there and find it, and you're like, wow, and you just keep going, and then suddenly you know you become a mixologist by the end of looking, and you're like, wow, and you can really show off. But then to me, like, I would find scrolling through Facebook for half an hour just like, oh God, what have I done?
It can be certain things. It's like YouTube is a very good one for like rabbit holes, isn't it? Because you could go on YouTube and you could spend half an hour watching documentary-esque things, which are all really interesting, add some sort of value to your life. And, you know, my girlfriend's on Pinterest quite a lot because she loves cooking, and she also loves terrariums. She's really gotten into terrariums recently. So she's been getting ideas, and she's starting to make them and things and sell them and stuff and give them to family members. So she's really into it. And it's one of those things with social media, is there is always the good and the bad in moderation, but it is... You know, people who go on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, they're the main people I'm trying to actually almost advertise to. So I'm trying to advertise to these people while I don't necessarily go on there very much anymore. And it's this weird thing, because I used to be on social media quite a lot, partially probably because of my age, but I used to go on social media a lot and all my friends were on it and blah, blah, blah. And slowly over time, people post less and less. And then there should be less content, but there's not. Instead, it just kind of mixes with loads of other things as well. And then now I don't post on social media to post anything unless it's to do with my podcast.
Yeah.
And so it's a weird tool, social media, which it's good and it's bad in many ways, but it's such a mixed bag, and it's so easy to get sucked in. It's so easy. I want to ask, actually, interesting. Have you... Obviously, you said that you did rugby when you were younger and things, and MMA and lots of other things. Have you always been into fitness and sort of stuff?
Dragged into it. Like, I'll tell you why. I think I didn't really do anything. And then when I was about six, I've got my dad, who I want to say unfortunately, but we don't have a good relationship. But he's always been one of them people. It very blunt, and I think he just said one day, it must have been about six, he went, right, you're starting jiu-jitsu next week. And
oh wow,
what's that? And I was watching Bruce Lee films by this point, because he used to love old Chinese films, and I mean terrible ones you would never have heard of, like Ninja versus Shaolin, all these things from the 60s. I'm doing jiu-jitsu, and I was quite a chubby kid. Put it this way, I was never told no, you know, for going into the biscuit tin.
That was me, except
I'm still that fat. But
I'm the same.
It's a thin veneer of slipping into obesity. But so I started doing jiu-jitsu. And I don't remember, and this is the weird thing, I don't ever remember being given a choice. Like, oh, you enjoying it? Do you want to go? You're going.
No.
Oh, okay. So I did it. And I did that from when I was six till I was about 18 or 19.
Oh, okay.
But... did that, and then when I was eight, right, you're doing rugby next on a Sunday. Oh, okay, so I'm doing rugby now. And I remember the first time I ever played that, just use all your weight and just run through them. Okay, and I did that, and I remember scoring a try, like being really little, and just thinking, oh, I must be really good at this if I've just scored a goal. No, it's a try. Oh, okay, I'll do that. So now I'm playing rugby, so I did that. And I just think with my daughter, I've got an 11-year-old daughter, she does gymnastics, but she's given that all the time. I ask, are you enjoying it? Do you like it? Mm. I was never asked those questions. It was just, you're going.
Yeah.
And so I was, you know, forced, but enjoyed it. Went to jiu-jitsu. I was forced to go, but ended up really enjoying it, playing rugby. And then I think throughout, I never any good at football.
Mm.
Like if the ball rolls, it's just, I'm going to hoof. There's no kicking it with what part of your foot. Like, and I think that's the thing. I really don't like football, but purely because I'm not any good at it. And if I'm not any good at it, if there's a computer game, everyone can rave about it. Like football, you can rave about it all you want. Am I any good at it? No, I'm not interested because there's no participation from it. I can appreciate when I see footballers, like you see like Messi, and when you used to watch Beckham and Ronaldo, all these people are like in World Cups when you're seeing the best of the best. I can appreciate the skill, the game itself, because again, I've got no stake in it. I can't play it. Yeah, it's not for me.
I'm not interested in football. Don't worry, you're not offending a football fan.
Oh, good.
I'm not much of a sports fan, but not. I'm against any of the sports in any way. I appreciate all of them, and I get why people watch them. It's just never been anything that's really grabbed me. And that's the end of part one. Thanks as always for tuning in, guys. As always, part two will be out next week at the usual time. And just for little bits and pieces of information, in part two, the discussion that we kind of ended with about sports continues. We then speak about mine and Jared's overweight youth, as well as health and lifestyle in general. We speak about our mutual coffee love and general coffee connoisseurs, the gym community, customer service, the stigmas of being wrong, which still exist, and a lot of people still can't accept that they are wrong in some way, and apologising, things like that. Me and Jared speak about that quite a bit. We talk about ideas, political discourse, and then right at the end of part two, we then talk about Jared's attempt at the Guinness Book of World Records. So next year he'll be involved in something. I'm sure he'll be coming on the podcast again to talk about all that, but that's the sort of thing you can expect from part two. Clarify, everything is in the description, guys, including what's coming up in part two, as well as the website to Limitless Float and also to Muscle Ape. And they're also on social media as well, so be sure you go check those out. Limitless Float social media is really interesting just because you get to see some of the pods, and there's other stuff posted as well that isn't specifically pod related. Yeah, go check them out. Then anyway, coming up in the next few weeks, obviously next week is going to be part two of my chat with Jared Speed. I think the week after that, I am likely to release the episode I've done with Goff of Beer Nuts Productions. That'll be his fourth time on Genuine Chit Chat, and it was, as always, a delight to have him on. And then I've got the two-parter recorded with Scott Weatherly of the 20th Century Geek podcast. So you need to go, you know, make sure you keep subscribed, because that's a really cool, big, nerdy chat about sci-fi crossovers and special effects and all kinds of other jazz as well. I need to have him on again soon, actually, because we needed to talk about H.P. Lovecraft and just didn't. That was the plan, to talk about H.P. Lovecraft, but we never actually did. So I'm going to have him on again just to try and talk about the one thing we were meant to talk about before. But anyway, it was an absolutely fantastic chat, so make sure you stay subscribed to that as well. I've got a few other recordings that I'm kind of going to get done before Christmas and all that sort of jazz, so there isn't any holes in it, but I'm just trying not to overwork myself. In all honesty, I'm trying to get an even balance there, but that's really what you can look forward to over the next few weeks. I want to say, if you can't get enough of my voice, many who say is annoying, some who say is great for the radio. My dad did always say I had a face for the radio, so we'll see about that. But if you do want to hear more from me in other ways as well, I was recently on the latest episode of Comics and Motions TV and Movies, which is once a week they release an episode about TV and movies that have had comic adaptations and things, and we tackled Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It is myself, the host of Comics in Motion, Dave Horrocks, and instead of his usual co-host Chris Phelps, it was instead Tony Farina, whose name I speak about in almost every one of these podcasts for a number of reasons. But yeah, if you want to hear us talk about Scott Pilgrim, we all have slightly different opinions on it. Make sure you check that out. It is found on the same feed as Star Wars Comics in Canon is, and it is just called Comics in Motion. The logo is nice, big, red and white, so it's quite hard to miss. Also on the feed of Comics in Motion, there was the second episode of Comics on Trial, which came out on the 20th of September. Myself and Scott Weatherly of 20th Century Geek, as I mentioned, has got an upcoming episode with me, as well as the judge, Paul. He is from the Superheroes for Dummies podcast, which can also be found on the feed of Comics in Motion. And
basically on Comics on Trial, I was defending Star Wars The Phantom Menace against Scott Weatherly, who is the prosecutor. It was a lot of fun talking about Star Wars The Phantom Menace and me trying to defend some arguably undefendable things in that film, but it was a lot of fun, and it's a new show on the Comics in Motion feed. Tony Farina did, with Dave Horrocks and Chris Phelps of Comics in Motion, they did Hulk 2003, which in my opinion is one of the worst films ever, but they did a Comics on Trial of that a few weeks prior, and that is a really, really good listen as well. Tony does a brilliant job of trying to defend Hulk, so that was really cool too. So there's some of the things that I've kind of been vaguely involved with recently. And then the other last thing I'll say before I hang this up is my newest episode of Star Wars Comics in Canon is out. Just in case you aren't aware, I do have a podcast called Star Wars Comics in Canon. It is on the feed of Comics in Motion. It comes out every Saturday on Comics in Motion, and I talk about Star Wars comics. I also did a book review 2 weeks ago on the Master and Apprentice book by Claudia Gray, which is about Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan Kenobi 8 years before The Phantom Menace. So that's a really, really cool book, and I spoke about that, some of the narrative, that sort of jazz as well. And also the one I just released, which was out yesterday, which was the 10th of the 10th, that was the fourth and final edition of the Darth Vader comics. So if you haven't read those, or if you haven't listened to my podcast, go check that out. It's a really, really cool chat. If you aren't into reading comics, you have no interest in the comics whatsoever, you can still listen to the episodes of the podcast, because I've done full biographies and character profiles. I did one about Count Dooku. I did one about Darth Maul ages ago on episode like 2 or something. I've done one about how Kylo Ren got a red lightsaber crystal, how C-3PO got the red arm that you see in The Force Awakens, and that very famous meme is about. Loads of different things, Star Wars questions and stuff I have tackled, but also I use the comics as a lot of the basis of it. So some of the episodes are just me generally giving a vague narrative on comics and then doing other connections too. Like the fourth volume of Vader comics that I recently finished, there was a Rancor in there. So I just spoke a little bit about Rancors, you know, the average height. There's the guy Malakili, who is in Return of the Jedi. He's the Beastmaster. He's the one who cried when the Rancor died in episode 6. I speak about him and what he got up to. He actually opens up a restaurant, which is quite cool. So like, I do tackle the wider canon. You know, I try and do connections to a lot of different things in the episodes. So if you don't want to read the comics, you can just hear me talk about the narrative, get a bit more information. And also some of the ones that are comics that have been going on for a long period of time, I have also kept them chronologically. So the main run of Star Wars comics and the main run of Darth Vader comics, I've been doing them once a month as well. So there is a consistent story you can follow if you aren't interested in reading the comics yourselves anyway. And also next week is going to be episode 30, which is going to be Tony Farina, whose name I keep saying. Tony Farina is going to be coming on, and we're going to talk about Dr. Aphra. So there's going to be an episode introducing Dr. Aphra for those who haven't listened to all the Vader ones, but also talking about her as a character and what's to come. So that's all the things you can expect from me, guys. Basically, almost everything I just spoke about is on the feed of Comics in Motion. There's a different show that releases there every day, Monday to Sunday. You know, once a week is Tony Farina's Indie Comic Spotlight, once a week is my show, Star Wars Comics and Canon, and there's lots of other shows that release either weekly or bi-weekly as well. So lots of cool stuff, even if you're not that into comics. The great things to get spoken about on there, including What's the Topic, which had a really, really good episode about cinemas recently. So I really, really recommend you guys check that out too. Anyway, that's it from me, guys. Thank you as always for listening to any episode of the podcast. Thank you for listening to me ramble on for so long, especially all the way to the end if you're hearing my voice here. And I just hope you guys all have a great time. I hope you have safe weeks, and I just wish you all well. You know, it's a weird time all in, especially approaching Christmas and the eve of Hallows, or Halloween as not weirdos call it. But yeah, I send you all the best wishes and things, and just want to say how much I do appreciate you guys listening to my show. It means the absolute world to me. So all of that said and done, I will talk to you guys next week.